your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Stand with me if you're able for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to look at verse 3. Second Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible records for us, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so very thankful for this, your word. And Father, as we look at this and we see that you are the God of all comfort, that we can receive comfort in coming to you, and we can know that things that we go through are for our own good and for to bring glory and honor to you. And we're looking forward to this message today, Father, as we look, and so many Christians today are putting their hope and their trust and trying to find comfort in a political party. And yet, Father, your word tells us that we're supposed to not trust man. We're supposed to trust you. We're supposed to turn to you, not to man. And so, Father, I pray that no matter what happens in the coming days, that our comfort would come from you, that we'd seek you for that comfort, and we'd trust you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The word blessed here is eulogio, and it means praise. So in other words, praise be to God. Praise be to God. David put it like this in Psalm 34:1, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." That ought to rid of the complaining of the saints. Right? I tell you, if you want to get some complaining going on, get around a bunch of saints. It's ridiculous. We're not supposed to be complaining. We're supposed to be praising. If we were praising, we'd have no time for complaining, would we? But it's interesting. I tell people all the time, I say, man, you do something and somebody's going to complain about it. Doesn't matter what it is, because you're not going to please everybody. It's just not going to happen. But complaining should not be going on with the Christians. Now, again, Christians, they were Christians because they were Christ-like. And if you're not Christ-like, get with the program, right? God didn't say, stay like Satan. He said, become like my son. He's the example for us. In Psalm 50, verse 23, Psalm 50 and verse 23, it says, "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God." See, if we keep our conversation ordered and we have it aright, as the Bible says, then he's going to show us the salvation of God. Our problem is that sometimes our conversation is all about complaining and complaining and complaining. Did anybody remember what happened when they had the murmur and complaining going on with Israel? Was God pleased? Far from pleased. And yet, they murmur and complain and murmur and complain. Paul calls him the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. I want to stop and spend a little time here on these three words, love, mercy, and grace. Love, mercy, and grace. I don't know about you, but I thank God for His love, I thank God for His mercy, and I thank God for His grace. I don't know how we'd get by without such things, but so much is being said today about love. There's a lot of people who have this sloppy theology that it's because of God's love and it's by God's love that we are saved. It's not what the Bible teaches. This tells us it's by His grace. By His grace, He saves us. He does love us, though, doesn't He? Praise the Lord, He does. Thank God He loves us. Can you imagine what life would be like if God didn't love us?
I don't even want to try and imagine what it'd be like if God did not love us. But He does, and thank God for it. Our problem is we don't understand how much He loves us. We say He loves us. We like the fact that He loves us, but I don't think we understand how much God truly loves us. Break our hearts if we could comprehend exactly how much God loves us and how in exchange for that love, how poorly we treat Him. People go, well, how do you know I treat Him poorly? We all do. Let's not try and be holier than thou today. God's watching in the midst of two or three gathered together. He's in the midst of us, right? He knows that we don't love Him and we treat Him with disrespect on a regular basis. If we truly understood how much He loved us and we grasped how much He loved us, we would treat Him differently. It's just a fact. It's just a fact. So the Scripture teaches us that we are saved by God's grace. So what is grace? We call it unmerited favor, right? So He doesn't save us on the basis of merit. He saves us by His grace. Anybody here earn salvation? If you say yes, I definitely want to talk to you afterwards. We didn't earn anything except hell. That's what we earned. But thank God, by His grace, we can have heaven's glory and spend that with Him. He loves us, but He doesn't save us by His love. He saves us by grace. And why? Because He is also the God of all mercies. The God of all mercies. The Father of mercies. Mercy says that He so loved us that He provided a Savior for us because He couldn't save us any other way. People say, well, yeah, you can get saved several ways. Explain to me the cross. If you can explain to me the cross and still biblically show me that there's another way to heaven, I want to see it. Because I've never found it. This book says there's one way. There's one door to heaven, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have any other way. Anything we have today is because of His mercy. I'm telling you, it's His mercy that we even have anything at all. It's by His mercy that He called me into the ministry. I don't deserve to preach the Word of God. I get that. I totally understand that. Blows me away when preachers stand up and say, I deserve to preach the Word of God. No, you don't. What we deserve is hell. That's what we deserve. Thank God He allows those that He calls to preach the Word of God, to preach the Word of God. But we don't deserve it. Thank God He is rich in mercy and in grace. Do you need mercy today? I tell you, if you need money, go to the bank and get it, right? Even as a 5-year-old girl, my daughter knew that you need money? You go to the bank and get it. You go to the bank and buy some, right? That's exactly what you're doing when you're borrowing money. You're buying money. And at exorbitant rates. It's amazing. I was talking to somebody the other day. They said 26.99% interest is what they're paying on a credit card. So I had to get mine out because I pay them off every month, so I don't know what the interest rate is. I had to get it out. It is 26.99%. And I was like, holy buckets. They actually can get away with charging that? Apparently they can. My favorite one is when they call and say, we want to lower your interest rate. I said, so are you going to pay me? What do you mean? I said, I don't pay any interest on my card. click. You don't even have to say goodbye to them because they hang up before you can say goodbye. But no, folks, if you're going to use credit, use it wisely. Don't pay interest. Just saying. It's amazing how bad it gets. But if you need mercy, go to the Father of mercies. Right? If that's where you need it, if you need help, go to Him. That's what He's there for. He wants us to go to Him. He wants us to take everything in our lives to Him. And yet we usually spend our lives going everywhere but to Him. I'm going to pick on the election for just a minute. We have an election coming up. Nobody knew that, right? It's been such a secret for the last 4 years. I tell you, somebody said the other day, I can't wait till all these signs get down. And all I said, wow, they'll be up by January 1st. We have midterm elections again coming up in 2 years. So, yeah. But it's amazing how many people I talk to, Christians. Okay, not Christians because they're not acting Christ-like. But people who are professing to be saved can't wait till this election result so they can see who's going to be the savior of the world. I said, guess what? I got a newsflash for you. The savior of the world is not on the ballot. The savior of the world is on the throne where he's always been and he's not going to leave. He can't be voted off. Praise God. He can't be kicked out. He can't be overcome. And I got news for you. No matter who wins the election, Jesus is still going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, you can cry all you want on Tuesday, but you're not going to know till probably the end of the year. Just telling you. But you can take comfort in knowing that God is going to still be on the throne. And thank God He is. And it doesn't matter what man does. We have mercy because God has extended mercy to us. Now, not only is He the Father of mercies, He's also the God of all comfort. Comfort. You can test that in your everyday life. I got news for you. He is the God of comfort when you're in the hospital. Praise the Lord. One time I was in the hospital and they said, do you want to stay overnight? I said, do I have a choice? They said, yeah. I said, I'll leave. Who wants to stay in one of them places if you don't have to? I thought, give me the opportunity. He's the God of all comfort. Anybody ever been in a funeral home? Yeah, I've been in several times, more times than I care to acknowledge, but He's the God of all comfort when you're there. He's the God of all comfort no matter what's going on in your life. Don't try to get comfort in a political party, in man. Get comfort from God. He's the God of all comfort. Now, there is an authentic comfort comes from God. We can also have a counterfeit comfort that'll come from man. Some people are saying, I love it when they say this too, God permitted this to happen, so I'm just going to accept it. And then they whine and complain about it. Did you accept it? No, you didn't. Well, let's be honest with God. Let's just be honest with God. He's honest with us, right? The God who cannot lie is honest with us. Let's be honest with Him. If there's something going on, tell Him how you feel. Do you know it's okay to tell God you don't like what's going on? Yeah, it's okay to tell Him, I don't like what's happening, God. It's okay to do that. Is it going to change it? Maybe not. But you can tell Him you're not happy with what... I have told Him over and over and over, I'm not happy with the way things are going in the United States of America. I have pleaded with God. I've begged God. I've done everything I know. I've prayed and prayed and prayed that He would intervene on our behalf in the United States of America and turn this nation back around to right side up as man has turned it upside down. I've prayed that people who profess to be Christians would vote according to this book. Can I change them when they don't? No. In fact, I got encouraging words this morning. And he says, it doesn't matter how much you tell them. It doesn't matter how much you preach to them. It doesn't matter how much of this word goes out. You can explain all you want, and when they vote the wrong way and they reap the rewards of that, not much you can do about it. You can't. But I can still take comfort in knowing that God's on the throne. I can take comfort knowing that when the Word of God goes out and it falls on deaf ears, it's not my concern. God said, preach the Word. So I preach the Word. You don't listen, you don't listen. But He knows all about what our problems are. He knows about all our trials. He knows about all our tribulations. He knows about everything that's going on. And when we want comfort, we need to go to Him, because we can have fake comfort or we can have real comfort. But the choice is ours. There's a popular notion that comfort is some sort of sweet sentimentality with a note of weakness. Anybody here ever skin a knee or an elbow? Go running to mom, and what's the first thing she says? She kisses it, makes it all better, right? Now it's all better, right? The blood's gushing out the knee or the elbow. Yeah, it's all better now. And we buy that story, right? Because mom said it's all better. But mom means well. She just wants you to know, inside mom's panic when she sees the blood, but on the outside she's trying to get you not to panic. What she does, right? But as we mature, as we get older, we need the truth, right? And we can have comfort in truth. It's amazing. There could be comfort in truth. You know, I tell people all the time, don't tell me a lie, tell me the truth. I know how to deal with the truth. A lie is going to change again, so I try running down a lie. It changes every time they tell it. As we heard in Sunday school hour, some people are getting caught in lies during this political realm that's going on. And you know what they don't understand? Is that every time they're in front of people giving a speech of any kind, it's recorded. It's to keep their feet to the fire and tell them, this is what you said.
I never said that.
You know what really gets to me? Christians will defend them when they lie.
They never said that.
It was recorded. Did you miss it? Look it up. Interesting thing about the internet, nothing ever goes away on the internet. Right? I mean, it's out there for, well, we do have a couple of social media platforms that are taking down stuff that is not meeting their political standards, but look it up. You know, if you want to go see one of the debates, just pull it up online. You didn't have to watch it on TV. You could pull it up online. They're all out there. So you have to be careful, because some people will take comfort in those who lie to them. We need to take comfort in the God of all comfort. People turn to all sorts of things for comfort. Some will turn to alcohol, but I got news for you. You're not going to find comfort in alcohol. It will ruin a home. I've seen it. I've seen it ruin families. I've seen it destroy lives. You're not going to find comfort there. Others will turn to drugs. Yeah, there's comfort in drugs. No, there's no comfort in drugs. I got one guy I know, he's lost, been praying for him for years. He says, it's all about the power of pharmaceuticals. I said, there's not enough drugs on the face of the planet to make me dumb enough to do some of the things you're doing. There just isn't. I got people that try to talk me into, well, if you just go down to the pot shop and get some marijuana, you won't hurt so bad. You know what? I'd just as soon hurt this bad than go into one of those places. Yeah. You say, well, that's just dumb. No, it's not. I don't need no mind-altering drugs to tell me that I'm going to do some stupid things, because that's what happens when you're on mind-altering drugs. You do dumb things. We turn to everything but what we're supposed to. We won't find comfort in these things. The Greek word for comfort is parakaleo, and it means to call to one side. To call to one side. The Holy Spirit is called the Paraclete. If you're saved, where's the Paraclete? Indwelling within. He's alongside with you. Call to one side. He's with us everywhere we go. When the Lord Jesus Christ promised to send the Holy Spirit, he said in John 14:18, that's John 14:18, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. We don't have to be comfortless. He sent us the Comforter, right? Praise the Lord, he did. The word he used here is orphanus. I will not leave you as orphans, I will send you the Comforter, the Paraclete. I will send him to you. He said to his own men in John 16:7, again that's John 16:7, nevertheless I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. You go, well, Jesus went away, and what happened? He sent the Comforter, just like he said he would. So we have the Comforter. He's not someone who just kisses a bruise and tells you it's okay, right? No. He's there no matter what's going on. He's going to be there. He's going to strengthen us. He's an advocate for us. He's going to take care of us. He's going to help us. He's going to relieve the loneliness. He's going to lessen the grief and calm the fears. Isn't it interesting? People who profess to be Christians or saved, and how fearful they are. The Comforter calms the fears. What are they relying on? Oh, man. That's the problem. We're relying on the wrong thing to comfort us. We think we can find comfort in our elected officials. How can you find comfort in somebody who lies to you? And it's proven that they lie to you. I haven't yet figured out why people vote for somebody who lies to them. That just boggles my mind. When it's been proven that they lie to you and you still vote for them. Makes no sense. Reminds me of those signs, bang head here, and you want to put it on a hard surface. Because that's what you're doing when you're voting for somebody that you know blatantly lies to you. I want somebody who's truthful. Somebody who does what they say they're going to do. The Comforter. He means help in time of terrifying trouble. In Psalm 30, verse 10, hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord, be thou my helper. Be thou my helper. That's It's the cry of a soul that needs a comforter. And God is the God of all comfort. Then we have 2 Corinthians 1:4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. It's a very wonderful thing that we have God to go through in our time of need, and we can get comfort from God. The God of all comfort. Doesn't say some comfort, but the God of all comfort is there to comfort us. We have Him whenever we need Him. Now, when the sun's shining, it's a beautiful day out there, isn't it? Driving in. To me, it doesn't matter how cold it is outside. If the sun's shining, it's a beautiful day. Sunshine is a beautiful day. We're cruising in. It's great. We think everything's going wonderful because the sun is shining, right? How bad could it be? We got the sun is shining, somebody pats us on the back, and wow, everything's wonderful. And we don't need any comfort, right? Well, wait till trouble comes. Dealing with trouble right now? If you're not, hold on. If you're not dealing with it right now, hold on. It's coming. I know that's encouraging, isn't it? Paul experienced the kind of comfort in his time of trouble. We need assurance of the presence of God in all of our circumstances of life. I don't know about you, but life sends some hiccups every once in a while, doesn't it? I mean, we get some hiccups, and we need, in our greatest need, in our loneliness, in our desperate hour of life, God's there. We need that. Some people, Christianity is just a theory, a coat to put on for special occasions. That's all it is. People who profess Christianity treat it that way even. But the proof of Christianity is in the walk. You can tell me all you want, but the proof of Christianity is going to be in the walk. Are you Christ-like? When trouble comes, are you Christ-like? When bad things happen, are you Christ-like? That's when we're going to know for sure. That's when Christianity's proof is proven. Not just in a theory to the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, it says, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation." We find here Paul is going to talk a great deal about the trouble that he had gone through and presently having, and of God's comfort through it all. He could get comfort through it, during it, after it, before it. Everywhere you're going, you've got God's comfort with you if you want it. Paul went through some things, didn't he? Yeah. Paul went through some things, all right. And he was still comforted of God. Tell you, you get into prison sometime, and I don't recommend it, but you get in prison sometime and start singing praises to God, you'll find that the comfort that God has is more than sufficient. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 7 through 10 says, "And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." This is very wonderful here. He's explaining here that God permits us to have trouble. He permits us to be sick. He permits things in our life. And Paul even says he was sick near unto death. Near unto death. Have you ever been so sick you thought dying would just be easier? I've had days when I thought, you know, it'd just be easier to die. It just would be. And yet God brings you through it and says, all right. But he says he had the sentence of death in him. And then Paul says, God who raises the dead delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Quite the thought, isn't it? And it should be practical for us today as well, knowing that God will deliver us. I tell you, as a born-again Christian, I tell people, it doesn't matter what man does to this body, right? God still delivered me. I've been delivered. God permits Christians to suffer. I know that's hard to take, but he does. He permits us to suffer. And he has a good reason for it, and a very wonderful reason for it, and purpose for it. He intends for it to work out the good of these believers. It's for our own good. Not easy to take, is it? When you're sick. Oh, I mean, you get really sick, hard to believe that's for your own good, right? It's not easy to believe it's for our own good when we're like hurling, right? It's just not. It's not what we want to think of as good, but God's using it for a purpose in our lives. Hard to believe, because we just think, why does he allow this to happen at all? Got news for you. When we go through things, not just for us. God allows us to go through things so that we can be a comfort for others. As God has been a comfort to us, we can be a comfort to others. He has a purpose in that. And thank God he does. Everything that we have is by the mercy of God. God has given it to us, he's allowed us to have it, and he wants us to use it to help others. You think he just gave it to you to consume upon yourself? Nowhere in the book does it say that he wants you to consume everything upon. In fact, he says, you ask not and you have not. Why? You have not because you ask not. And then you have not because you're going to consume it upon your own lusts. Let's be a comfort to one another. Let's help people if we can. I remember years ago, I may have shared this here. My wife and I weren't doing very well. I was out of work. We had no income coming in. And the church we were attending decided they were going to do a pounding. Never knew what a pounding was until then. And what they do is they gather together food, household goods, and they give them people. My wife and I went downstairs to our pantry area, which was just a basement room with shelves in it, and we started loading up bags, and we took it into the church. We come walking in, everybody's laughing at us, and I'm like, what's so funny? We put it in the pile with the rest of the stuff, and afterwards, the pastor came up to us and said, could you help us load this in your car? They said, we find it amazing that you who need help took from your necessity to help somebody else, and you don't even know who they are. I said, it's what God told us to do. We just assumed there was somebody else out there worse off than we were. We help. If you can, you help. Everything we have is from God anyway. If you have health, wealth, some of us have youth still. Keep breathing. You'll get to the rest of our... I mean, you keep breathing and old age comes. It just happens. The other day I was talking, I was trying to convince my granddaughter she needs to come see me because I'll turn 60 in July. And you need to come see Papa for his 60th birthday. You know, it's a milestone. You need to come. I'll use anything to get my granddaughter to come see me, okay? So anyway, I thought, see if it'll work. And I said, you know, 60 doesn't seem like it took all that long to get here. Just doesn't. No time at all. It happens. But everything we have, we got youth, health, wealth, talent, or any gift that God has given to you, He wants you to use it for others. Don't consume it upon yourself, but use it to help others. Suffering. If you're suffering for Christ, He permits that to happen. No? I said, when they decided same-sex marriage was okay, I said, I will not perform one of those things. I can't tell you how many people have asked me if I would perform a wedding ceremony for them, and I turn them down. Nope, not interested. I actually get emails from people who are looking for somebody to officiate their wedding. I don't know these people. They don't know me. Why do you want me to officiate? You can get a justice of the peace to officiate a wedding. You don't need me to do it for you. But I don't want to get hooked into that. But as I said when they made that garbage legal, I said, I'll take those silver bracelets first. And I will. Because I'm not going to do one of those. Not going to happen. It's God's mercy that keeps us on the straight and narrow. God's mercy. He uses trial and difficulty for that purpose. Tell you what, if life was so easy all the time, we would think we didn't need God. Well, I'd never think that. Careful. Careful. You get so lifted up in pride, you will fall. We have to remember that it's by His mercies that we obtain mercy. Paul's walking softly, but he can say with great assurance here, He has delivered me from death. And he can say, right at the present, He is delivering me. And then without any boasting, he says, we trust that He will yet deliver us. And Paul did not know that he would, but he believed he would. Right? I mean, there's many times I've been praying for a lot of people with a lot of different health issues. Some people near death. And I prayed, God, just please heal them. I don't know that He will, but I believe He can. I believe wholeheartedly. Why would I pray for Him to heal people if I didn't believe He could do it? We don't know that He will, but we know that He can. Paul could rejoice in the fact that God was allowing him to give out the gospel. It could be a help to other people. Then Paul appeals to these Corinthian believers for prayer. In 2 Corinthians 1:11, he says, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. God wants us to do that. And I have appealed for prayer. Many times I've asked people, please pray. I'm going through this in my life. Please pray. And people have prayed for me, and I feel those prayers. And thank God for people who pray, one for another. We need that. There's many benefits involved in praying one for another. then I think God allows us to have trouble that we might comfort others. Our suffering is for the benefit of others, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Then listen to Paul again in 2 Corinthians 1:8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we were despaired even of life. The wind of adversity doesn't generally take us away from God. Not generally. Generally, the winds of adversity push us towards God, right? Because that's when we're seeking Him. When the winds begin to blow and it gets rough and tough, we turn to our Father who comforts us. However, when things are going well, it's a dangerous place for us to be. Dangerous place. You'll go, well, just let me try it once, right? No. It's dangerous for us to be there when things are going too well for us. Because when they're going too well for us, we don't turn to God. We get this idea that we don't need to. The sun is shining, as I said earlier. We as Christians have it too easy. Too easy. And then we remove the robe of practical righteousness and we begin to compromise with the world. That's what many Christians have done today. Compromise with the world. 2 Corinthians 1:12 says, "For our rejoicing in this is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word." Our conversation here means our manner of life in the world. It means our walk. Not just our talk, but our walk. Paul says that he can rejoice because of the testimony of his life. He says it wasn't because of fleshly wisdom. Why is it that when we need wisdom, we go to man? Need some help with this. What do you think I should do? How about we go to God? Ask God for the wisdom that we need to make the right choices. Now, I'm not saying some godly counsel is not it's a good idea to get godly counsel. But let's not go out and just get wisdom from anyone that we think might align with our beliefs. We're going to get godly wisdom. Let's get it from somebody who aligns with God's word. Because our beliefs might not be on track. We are a testimony for God. It's simply because of His grace. Today we're in a bed of pain. Some of us got out of a bed in pain, right? This morning. I'll tell you what, God can use that as quite a testimony for those that you were in contact with. In fact, there's some people that are suffering pain and they're going through it with such grace that God has bestowed upon them that their testimony might speak louder than a message from the pulpit. We have to understand that people are watching. People are looking at us. People want to know how we're dealing with the trials and the testings of life. Are we taking it to God or are we mumbling and complaining? 2 Corinthians 1:17 says, "When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness or the things that I purpose? Do I purpose according to the flesh? That with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay." Paul hoped that he'd go to Corinth. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to go to Corinth and be with these people, and yet he hadn't come yet. So then he had the naysayers that were saying, yeah, he just lied. No. Paul's desire was to go to Corinth. Paul didn't say, I'm going to go and then deliberately not go. didn't change his mind. He wanted to go. He wanted to be with them. Folks, when we say something, and I don't care if it's in your business life or in your personal life, when you tell somebody something, follow through. We make appointments and we break them because something better comes along. Something better? No, that's not good on your testimony, folks. And we are ambassadors for Christ, so that's a reflection on Him. If we're going to say something, let's do it. Let's keep our appointments. Let's stand with God. We ought to be the kind of folk that follow through on what we say we're going to do and not back out just because, well, life got difficult or we just decided, my favorite is that something better came along. What better came along? We need people who will stand by the things that they've said. 2 Corinthians 1:18 says, "But as God is true, our word towards you was not yea and nay." Again, like I said, Paul didn't say, "I will come to you," and then say, "I won't come," as though he's being fickle or something. That's not what was going on. It was because God had led him. He was in the will of God. He was dealing with what God told him to do. Tell people, if God wills, I'll be there. If not, you don't want to be out of the will of God. 2 Corinthians 1:21 through 22, "Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." Now, you have here not only the faithful God, the true God, and the sure Lord Jesus, but you also have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Very candidly, I believe that you have here is a statement of the total ministry of the Holy Spirit today. He which establisheth us. Now, how do you become established? Paul had written his first letter to the Corinthians, and they had been so fickle, he concluded it by saying this in 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Trying to be an encouragement to them, right? What does it mean to be established? I believe that is the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit. First of all, the Holy Spirit convicts. We think that we do the convicting, right? We want to beat it into them. No, we do not convict anybody. The Holy Spirit's job is to convict. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Lord Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit came into the world, He would convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And the second thing that He would do, if, having been convicted, we confessed our sin and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, He would regenerate us. And He not only would regenerate us, He would indwell us. And He would not only indwell us, but He would baptize us. This expression here is quite interesting. "Now He which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us as God." God who? God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. We hear that song, "Safe in the Arms of Jesus," right? That hymn? Anybody know that one? "Safe in the Arms of Jesus"? Yeah, we're safe in the arms of Jesus, right? No, I'm going to tell you right here, the word here is not safe in the arm of Jesus, but you are put in Jesus by baptism. You are part of His body. Yeah. We're not just safe in His arms, we are part of Him. And thank God for it. Speaking of the work of the Holy Spirit, Paul uses the present tense. It's what He's doing for us here today. He convicts us, He regenerates us, He indwells in us, and He baptizes us. 1 John 2:20, it says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. An unction, that is an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. The anointing is of the Holy Spirit. And He will guide us and lead us and direct us into all truth. That's why I say, just like a pastor friend of mine down south says, you don't understand this book, it helps to know the author. People say, well, I can't understand the these and the thous. These and thous are pretty easy to understand. You don't want to believe this book is the problem. And it could be because you don't know the author. In 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. Ministry of the Holy Spirit is very important. In fact, it's vital for us. This book is discerned by the Holy Spirit of God, indwelling in us. We need it. Do you know He doesn't give you a mail order degree? He doesn't. Nor does this knowledge come in a gift wrapped box. It doesn't happen that way. We have the Holy Spirit to teach us, and He alone can open the Word of God to us. He's the one that discerns it for us. He's the one that gives it to us. That's the reason why this book is a miracle. The Lord Jesus said to His own men in John chapter 16 and verses 12 through 13, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He wants to guide us into all truth. Who hath also sealed us. That is a marvelous ministry of the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. We can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We can. And I hate to say it, but we do grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Is it possible to grieve Him away? No. The Bible says we're sealed. Sealed. How can we grieve Him away if we're sealed? By Him. Can't grieve Him away, but we can grieve Him. The Holy Spirit puts a brand on us to show that we belong to God. We belong to God. We are His sheep, and we are not going to get lost. We may stray, but He will find us. And given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts, we are given the earnest, which is the Holy Spirit in our hearts. The earnest means there's more to follow. There's more to come. God's given us the Holy Spirit, which means there is more to come. Can you imagine? It's already, being a child of God already has had so many benefits that it's amazing. But the book says there's more to come. More. Can you imagine more than this? Well, read the book. It does sound pretty marvelous when we get there. But there's more to come. Purchased us with His blood. Put down a purchase price which guarantees that the saved will be delivered safely to the Father. It means that the saved soul is now in escrow today. God's put the Holy Spirit into every believer. He is the earnest. Come into the life of every believer to bear witness. Bear witness of God the Father. What is it you need today? Do you need mercy? Do you need mercy? Well, you can go to He who is rich in mercy, the Father of mercies. Do you need wisdom? Bible says we can go to him and ask for wisdom. He's not going to dish it out a little bit. He's going to just pour it out. So we could get that. Do we need help? We can get that from him. Do we need power? Do we need joy? Boy, there's some Christians out there that need some joy, I got to tell you. I've come across some Christians that I don't think dynamite would get joy into them. They need some joy. They act like somebody stole their birthday more than one year in a row. We need some joy. We can have joy. Paul knew it. Paul experienced it. And also the writer knows it. In 2 Corinthians 1, 23 through 24, "Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand." Now I believe Paul stayed away so that their faith might be strengthened, that their faith might grow in the Lord. One of the reasons God permits many of us to undergo certain hardships and certain difficulties in our life is that our faith might grow. If you're going through some difficulties, it might be my fault. I keep praying that God would draw us closer to Him and that our faith would increase. Could be my fault. You can thank me later. Hey, if our faith increases, isn't that a good thing? I'd say yes. As we sing, it'll be worth it all when we see Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so very thankful for your word. Father, we're thankful for the comfort that we can get from you. Father, we thank you for your love, for your mercy, and for your grace. We thank you for the salvation that's available only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who indwells within us and guides us and directs us through this life. Father, we're looking forward to the day when we're no longer in this sin-cursed world. But while we're still here, Father, I pray that we'd be found faithful, that we would walk with you, that we would enjoy the fellowship that we have with you, that we would be a comfort to others. Father, if there's someone in our midst this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, I pray today would be that day. That they would come and be shown from your word how they too can have that personal relationship with Christ. Father, for Christians, we're looking for comfort in the wrong places. I pray that we would fix that today. We're not joyful. Father, I pray that we'd figure out why and correct that as well. Why we can't experience the comfort that you give. It's probably because there's things in our life that shouldn't be. So I pray, Father, during this time of invitation, that you'd have free reign in our hearts. If no one comes, we'll close. Not because of you, but because of us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.